Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, character references for people convicted of criminal offences have become contentious in recent times, particularly in cases where a sexual offence has been committed. Our reporter Maura Fay has been looking at the role that those character references play in the criminal justice process, and Maura is with us here. So Maura, will you explain to us at what point in criminal proceedings the character references are used? When do they come into play?
So character references don't have a technical legal term per se. They're also sometimes called letters of mitigation. These are letters that are used at a sentencing hearing. So this is at the point where a person has already been convicted of an offence and now the judge is deciding what sentence to hand down. So the judge will look at the letter. It may be read out or summarised in court by the defence barrister. Copies of the letter are also given to the Gardaí and the prosecution legal team in advance, sometimes on the morning of a sentencing hearing. They're essentially used by the defence counsel to give the judge a fuller picture of the person who is being sentenced. Gulisa Olija is a barrister and senior counsel, and he practices in the area of criminal law on the defence side. And just to make it clear, he spoke to me on his own behalf, not representing the Bar Council or other barristers. I asked Gulisa how character reference letters are typically drafted and what they should address.
When a person is facing a sentence hearing, the lawyers will usually sit down with the person to be sentenced and take a life history from that person, starting with early life experiences, childhood experiences, perhaps difficulties in the home, or perhaps no difficulties in the home, perhaps a very loving and positive family environment. Everybody has a different story to tell, but we try to get a full picture of the person's life from the beginning. And in that process, we say to the person, look, the lawyer shouldn't just be standing up and saying this. If possible, it'd be better to have a letter from somebody who can speak independently to confirm either the difficulties that were experienced in childhood or the good things. And the same applies for education. We ask for their education history, and we might be able to get a teacher who taught them in school or maybe who's a coach for one of the teams. Same for employment. The person can tell us, well, I work for this guy and I work for that guy. But if we can get a letter from the person saying, look, this person performed well or performed badly, but had some good things about him. But other issues that might be addressed would be, for example, a positive contribution that the person to be sentenced made as a parent to children. They might have helped other family members, they might have helped parents or grandparents, siblings, nephews and nieces. Obviously, a hugely important aspect of matters is alcohol and drug addiction. In many cases, that's a very significant factor. So we take a history of the difficulties that they person might have had, any attempts they made at rehabilitation. And all the time we're looking for, well, who can speak to this issue? Because rather than the barrister just saying it, we actually want somebody independent to confirm that these things are true. And very often these letters can be hugely important and very have a very powerful impact in court, because the judge gets a better understanding of why it happened and a better feel for it, a better understanding what the prospects are for the future.
That's Gulisa Olija, who's a barrister. Now, a major reason, Maura, why character references might be viewed as contentious. Some of what might be said in them could be viewed as offensive to the victim or the victims of crime. So is it fair, people ask, that they're used at all?
Yeah, in some cases where a person's convicted of a serious crime, there can be a lot of upset from the victim's family and friends, that letters are being submitted to the court that highlight the positive aspects of the character of the convicted offender. There can also be a lot of heated commentary on social media about such character references. I asked Gulisa for his thoughts about those situations.
It can be an extremely difficult and aggravating aspect of the whole experience for a victim to be listening to all these letters, or maybe one, sometimes it's only one letter, but hearing anything positive about the person who's done the wrong to them can be very painful to them. And all I can say is that this is part of the job of the judge, and this is part of the job of the criminal justice system. Some victims actually can get some value from hearing some of these letters to understand why it happened. This is a hugely important question for victims very often. Why was this done to me? Sometimes the offender, the encounter is entirely random. And you've got a human being walking down the street who's attacked by somebody else, and the victim is saying, why has this happened to me? And so it can be of some significant value to a victim in that situation to actually understand where the person has come from, the previous convictions or the absence of previous convictions, the good childhood they had or the absolutely terrible childhood they have. Because some people who do bad things are the victims of terrible abuse, violence, neglect. And so sometimes it can be very helpful for victims to understand what has happened. But if we want a better society, if we want things to improve, we actually need to understand why bad things happen. A lot of it has got to do with the experiences that people have gone through. Some of it is not. Some of it actually involves choices that people make and personality types. And this needs to be understood as well. If you have a system which is dictated by anger and intolerance and a lack of understanding, this is not good for the community generally. And so if you have social media or any of the traditional media promoting a totally one-sided view of this process, which is sometimes perhaps involving just vilification, dehumanization, demonization of the people who have done wrong, that is not good for our community. It's not good for the process. I would respectfully suggest that it's not good for the victims either. But I know it's difficult.
Now, there has been a big change recently, a legislative change in relation to how these character references are submitted, specifically where a sexual offence has occurred more. So what has happened?
So the Criminal Law Sexual Offences and Human Trafficking Act 2024 came into effect in September. Now, there are a number of changes brought in under that legislation, including the requirement that a person submitting a character reference on behalf of someone convicted of a sexual offence must appear in person in court and give evidence after swearing an oath, or the reference can be made in an affidavit, which also requires the swearing of an oath. Nolene Blackwell is a human rights lawyer with a speciality in victims' rights in sexual offences. I asked her why there is a need to change the law in relation to character references where sexual offences have occurred.
The need to do it came about when it became clear that particularly in cases of sexual offences where the victim and the perpetrator of the offence, the convicted person, often know each other very well and normally know each other somewhat, that where the case was over and where the person was convicted of a breach of trust, a very serious offence, sexual offences are particularly offensive to the dignity of a human being, and then the victim would sit there after the trial was over and would find themselves having to listen to somebody in a totally just casual way, really, because there was no oath needed, no affirmation needed. People could say this was a very trustworthy person, and the victim had no say in that. The victim knew that this person was not trustworthy because they had been convicted of this sexual offence. A jury had found that. But the reality for them was to sit there and listen to somebody else saying this was a very trustworthy person, this was a person who was a good partner, a good parent, a good child, when they knew that that did not take into account the totality of the experience of the person who was convicted.
Someone who's listening to our conversation now could be down the line asked by a friend or a family member, someone who's been convicted of a criminal offence, to give a character reference. Yeah. If someone is put in that position, Are there certain things that you think that they should take into consideration? Like, should they give a character reference?
Well, that's something that should always have been taken very seriously. But the reality was that people did it as a favour to somebody else. And sometimes people did it who were uncomfortable doing it. Now, no one is stopped from giving a character reference, but they have to swear an affidavit if they're not going into court and swearing in a witness box, or they have to make a solemn declaration, which means if they say things in that character reference that they're not fully confident about, they could be convicted of perjury themselves into the future. So what this is doing is allowing for a situation where a person who gives that character reference has to be very satisfied that what they are saying they can stand over, and that even if they were cross-examined on it, even if they were asked what they thought in the light of the conviction, that they would still be able to make the same character statements about the person.
And that is Nolene Blackwell there, ending Maura's report. Maura Faye, thank you very much.